Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast for November 14th, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Federal agents raided Polymarket CEO Shane Copeland's home amid a U.S. Department of Justice investigation into the company for allegedly allowing U.S. users to access its prediction market platform, CoinDesk reported. Polymarket, which gained popularity during the 2024 presidential election with high volumes of bets on Donald Trump's victory, had previously settled with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, in 2022, agreeing to block U.S. users. Despite the ban, reports indicate that some Americans accessed the platform via VPNs. A Polymarket spokesman called the raid political retribution by the outgoing administration, claiming the platform promotes transparency and information. A story by the Wall Street Journal focuses on the FBI seizing Copeland's phone during the raid. Today, JLN has a thought leadership commentary from Michael Posliken of Cernova Financial titled Client Clearing, the Direction of Travel. The commentary discusses the evolving landscape of client clearing and associated costs due to regulatory developments. It covers the Futures Industry Association's proposed European trustee model, EATM, for client clearing, designed to enhance clearing brokers' capital efficiency. Additionally, upcoming Basel 3.1, Basel 4, and U.S. Basel 3 endgame regulations are expected to significantly raise capital requirements for U.S. globally systemically important banks, GSIBs, and European banks. This increase in costs is likely to make clearing access more expensive, impacting smaller banks and broker-dealers who may consider direct CCP membership to manage costs. The report highlights the industry's dual challenge, improving client clearing access while navigating tightening capital regulations. In part two of JLN's interview with veteran commodities and futures attorney William Nissen, he shared pivotal cases from his career in Puckett versus Rufinock Ramagen and Hertz Inc., or RBNH as it's commonly known. Nissen argued that brokers aren't legally obligated to prevent clients from trading, a stance upheld by the Mississippi Supreme Court that set a precedent on broker suitability. He also discussed a 1992 margin call dispute with Lynn Waldeck Futures, affirming brokers' right to adjust margins without meeting reasonableness standards unless intended to penalize. Another case, Farmland Industries versus Fraser Parrott, involved claims of unauthorized trades, resulting in a landmark decision allowing defendants to recover attorney's fees. You can watch this video with a link in today's newsletter. Back in the 1980s, when I worked for First American Discount Corporation, founded by FIA Hall of Fame member William Maller Sr., a former chairman of the Chicago Board of Trade who was elected in 1969 as a rogue candidate, I was lucky to hear many stories from him. One story was about the only trade he made the year he was the chairman. He bought some July 69 soft red wheat at the CBOT and proceeded to watch it go down and ended up losing $70,000 on the trade. He had put in the high or near the high price for the contract, and everyone in the pit knew it, given his prominence as CBOT chairman. A year or so later, there was a bull market in wheat, and his price was finally exceeded. When he saw this on his quote screen, he walked down to the trading floor into the wheat pit and loudly told the assembled traders, "See, I told you so." This is not a story about a broken clock being right twice a day, but rather about waiting for the right time to silence your critics who have had a long period of being right. Odell Beckham Jr. and some other football players who took their salaries as Bitcoin during a previous phase of the cryptocurrencies mania are emerging to say, "See, I told you so." A story on Ramswire is headlined, "Odell Beckham Jr. dunks on everyone who laughed at him for taking Rams salary in Bitcoin." Beckham took his $750,000 salary from the Los Angeles Rams in 2021 as Bitcoin. In a Bloomberg video interview, Euronext CEO Stefan Buzna stated that Donald Trump's election ushers in an era of uninhibited decisions in U.S. policymaking, potentially impacting global markets. He highlighted Euronext's recent share buyback and its strategic growth plan, which focuses on expanding services and increasing market share through sector consolidation. The CEO emphasized Euronext's role in adapting to shifting market conditions and regulatory landscapes amid these geopolitical changes. All I'm going to say about President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Attorney General is to offer you the headline and subheadline from the Wall Street Journal. The headline is, "Matt Gaetz is a bad choice for Attorney General." And the subheadline is, "He's a nominee for those who want the law used for political revenge, and it won't end well." Chicago's luxury real estate market is attracting bargain hunters as wealthy sellers, including Ken Griffin and Michael Jordan, unload properties at significant discounts, Bloomberg reports. Griffin sold two condos at a 53% loss after moving to Miami, while Jordan halved the price of his suburban mansion to finally secure a buyer. High-end real estate in Chicago, long trailing markets like New York and Los Angeles, has struggled with the city's rising climb and exodus of affluent residents, including major firms like Citadel and Boeing. However, brokers report renewed buyer interest, with Chicago's summer events transpiring smoothly, lifting confidence in the market's recovery. The Associated Press Finance reports that satirical outlet The Onion has bought Alex Jones InfoWars at auction, relatives of Sandy Hook shooting victims say. The New York Times reports the satirical news site plans to turn InfoWars into a parody of itself, mocking weird internet personalities who peddle conspiracy theories and health supplements. Here are the headlines from in front of FOW's paywall from some recent stories. HKEX completes first severe weather trading day without a hitch. Analysis fed to slow rate cuts on expected Trump tariff inflation, Nomura. Trump will bring change for investors. Analysis, Euronext chief sees political will for European exchange consolidation. And DTCC enhances VAR calculations to support expanded U.S. Treasury clearing. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were, "Contract that made India top options market has last trading day," from Bloomberg. "Bitcoin traders pile into $100,000 CME options as price climbs through $93,000 CF benchmarks," from CoinDesk. And "Crypto ETF providers Bitwise buys Ether staking service Attestant," from Bloomberg. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a sponsored content entry from our friends at JPX. FIA Forum Tokyo 2024, held at JPX. Together with FIA and FIA Japan, OSC successfully hosted the FIA Tokyo Forum on October 10th, 2024 at the Tokyo Stock Exchange. The event welcomed over 220 attendees representing more than 100 companies. The program opened with remarks from Mr. Nakaso, chairman of FinCity Tokyo, and Mr. Yakoyama, president and CEO of OSE. These introductions were followed by two engaging panel discussions and an insightful address by Mr. Ito, commissioner of the Financial Services Agency. During the panel discussions, industry leaders from global exchanges and brokerages shared their perspectives on the Japanese market and their development plans. They also explored practical applications of OSE's recent innovations in the interest rates market, including the newly launched 3-month TONA futures. Mr. Kazuhisa Kakazaki, Executive Officer of OSE Tokam, joined a panel to discuss JPX's product advancements. He highlighted developments such as the 3-month TONA futures, Tokam electricity futures, and the revival of the single stock options market. For further details, refer to a link in today's newsletter. Here's part two of the John Lothian News interview with Bill Nissen. In part two of his interview with John Lothian News, Bill Nissen, a seasoned commodities and futures lawyer, shared insights from his decades-long career, highlighting more landmark cases that shaped the industry landscape. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. And then here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline: traders took charge at the FT Alphaville's pub quiz. Can you do better? High frequency of correct answers. Are high frequency traders simply a superior class of human being? Their pay certainly suggests so, and unfortunately their quizzing abilities also appear to be exceptional. There were 200 of New York City Finance's finest in attendance at Houston Hall, Manhattan last night, as the FT Alphaville pub quiz returned, with thanks to our kind sponsors at Tastytrade. Some 31 teams took part, but there could only be one winner. After a hard-fought clash over 7 rounds of financial trivia, the victors were RIP, the Emily account, a motley crew of traders. My comment: I am so offended by the first sentence of this story. I can't believe the FT even wrote it. Just wow. Talk about your snobs. Here's another story, this one from Yahoo Finance. The headline: more American households have access to bank accounts than ever before. The percentage of U.S. households lacking access to a checking account is now at a record low, but minorities still have a weaker connection to the American banking system than white households do. Those were among the new findings of a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation report this week that found roughly 5.6 million households were unbanked, meaning they lacked a bank or credit union account as of 2023. My comment: one of the points of cryptocurrency was for the unbanked to have access to financial services. Is the success of crypto encouraging people to get bank accounts, or is there another organic reason for this increase? Here's another story, this one from PC World. The headline: how often should you turn off your phone? Here's what the NSA advises. Many people underestimate the work needed to keep smartphones in tip-top shape. These tiny PCs in your pocket require regular maintenance and important updates in order to stay protected against wear and tear as well as attacks. Turning your phone off completely protects it from some hacks. Surprisingly, this includes a very basic task that many people never do: switching your phone off completely. According to security experts at the NSA, this alone helps to protect the device from some hacking attacks. It is now not only common to gain access to smartphones via malicious links, but also via so-called zero-click exploits. My comment: I need to do this. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top clicked item Wednesday was the Markets Wiki page for the Hall of Fame, which just announced its 2025 inductees. Second was the Chicago Tribune story from August 10th, 2021. CFTC finally clears CBOT Group of Prearranged Trades about the unanimous ruling in that case by William P. Albrecht, acting chairman of the CFTC, and two CFTC commissioners. We had reported that Albrecht died on October 30th. Third was the legal mind behind Futures Industry Landmarks, part one of a John Lothian video profile of Bill Nissen. Part two appears today. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story, referenced earlier, Polymarket CEO's home is raided by FBI. Quote, "This is obvious retribution," unquote, said a Polymarket spokesman. Bloomberg reported that DOJ is investigating the company for letting U.S. users access the site. The prediction market was a breakout success in the U.S. presidential election, a platform where billions of dollars worth of bets were placed on the outcome. Polymarket traders viewed Donald Trump as the likely winner, as indeed he was. The raid was confirmed by a Polymarket spokesman. The New York Post and Axios reported the news earlier. According to the Post, the feds took Copland's phone and other electronic devices. By all accounts, Copland has not been arrested or charged with any wrongdoing. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, How Beijing Took Control of Hong Kong's Financial Hub and Left the West Behind. The world's preeminent East Meets West investment hub has become more Chinese as international financial institutions, corporations, and expatriates retreat. With the golden gongs behind her waiting to be rung, Bonnie Chan, head of Hong Kong Stock Exchange, launched into a speech this spring. What she said, extolling Hong Kong's position as an international financial hub, wasn't remarkable. Rather, it was how she said it. The Harvard-educated Chan spoke in Mandarin, a departure from the exchange's past practice of speeches being given in English or Cantonese. The language was dictated by a 2-to-1 vote over English by the three Chinese asset managers launching new cryptocurrency funds at the exchange that day. The exchange hadn't offered simultaneous translation in English or any other language. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Why Goldman Stands Out as a Trump-era Winner on Wall Street. Booms in deal-making and private credit would be a double boost. Donald Trump's election has unleashed big hopes in the market for deal-making, regulatory easing, and private credit. Together, all of that would put some extra shine on Goldman Sachs. Goldman is the top performer among global banks in the S&P 500 so far in November, up nearly 15%. That is well above S&P 500 banks, which are up around 9%, and on par with private investment firm Apollo Global Management's gain this month. That may be no coincidence. Like other Wall Street banks, Goldman would benefit from an uptick in merger and acquisition or initial public offering activity, as well as any regulatory rollback. And generally, when things are good on Wall Street, they are very good at Goldman. During the surge of activity in 2021, its return on equity for the year was 23% versus 12% for the S&P banks overall. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform upon which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian. Thank you.